life of Gustavus Adolphus, the church as the backbone of the Swedish army. The challenge of military recruitment in the early 17th century was not simply a matter of finding enough men willing to fight. It was a problem of information, administration, and consistency. Sweden was not a densely populated country. Its inhabitants were spread across a large geographic area, living in rural communities that were often remote from the centers of political as well as administrative power. Knowing who is available for military service, where they lived, what condition they were in, and how quickly they could be assembled was a genuinely difficult organizational problem. Gustav Adolphus solved it by using the one institution that reached into every community in Sweden without exception. The church was not merely a religious organization in 17th century Sweden. It was the most comprehensive administrative network in the country, the only institution whose representatives were present in every town and village, who knew their local communities intimately, who maintained records of births, deaths, and marriages, and who had regular, consistent contact with virtually every person in the country. In an era before modern census systems or bureaucratic administration, the church was the closest thing to a universal information network that existed. The system Gustavus Adolphus designed was straightforward in its logic and remarkably effective in practice. Local church parishes across Sweden were required to maintain a conscription registry, a detailed record of every physically capable man in the congregation between the ages of 16 and 60. This registry was to be kept current, updated as men aged into or out of the eligibility range, as health conditions changed, and as the composition of the community shifted over time. When the king needed soldiers, he didn't need to conduct a new survey from scratch. The information was already there, compiled and maintained by churchmen who knew their parishioners personally. The elegance of this arrangement went beyond mere administrative efficiency. By routing military conscription through the church, Gustavus Adolphus accomplished something that no purely secular recruiting system could have achieved so naturally. He wrapped military service in the language and the logic of religious obligation. Serving in the army when called was framed not necessarily as a merely civic duty, a responsibility owed to the king and the state, but as something that a good Christian owed God and the community of faith. The church, by maintaining the registry and by being the mechanism through which men were called to service, implicitly endorsed the moral legitimacy of that service. This is not a cynical manipulation. In an era when religious identity was deeply woven into every aspect of social life, the association between military service and religious duty was genuinely meaningful to ordinary Swedes. It meant that the call to arms carried a weight that purely political authority could not produce on its own. Men who might have been reluctant to respond to a royal summons were harder pressed to resist when it was framed as a Christian responsibility. The system also had practical advantages for men themselves. Because the registry was maintained locally by people who knew the community, the process of identifying who would serve and under what conditions could be managed with a degree of local knowledge and sensitivity that a centralized bureaucratic system would have struggled to replicate. There was accountability in both directions. The church knew its men, and the men knew the church and that they knew. Evasion was considerably harder than it would have been in an impersonal system. The conscription registry became the administrative foundation of which everything else Gustavus Adolphus built rested. Without it, the provincial regiment system that followed would have been much harder to implement with the consistency and the reliability that made it effective. Let's talk about those regional and provincial regiments. With the conscription registry in place, Gustavus Adolphus had the information infrastructure he needed to build a genuinely new kind of military organization. The system he developed transformed the way Sweden recruited, maintained, deployed its armed forces, and addressed the fundamental weakness of the old model, the lack of professional soldiers available for immediate deployment without simply copying the expensive standing army arrangements that wealthier nations tried with mixed results. The key innovation was a provincial regiment. Each of Sweden's provinces was made responsible for raising, maintaining, and supplying its own regiment of soldiers. regiment was tied to its home province in a way that created a clear and durable connection between military unit and the community it came from. The men in a provincial regiment were neighbors, people who knew each other, who shared local loyalties, cultural identities, and had reasons to fight alongside one another that went beyond the abstract obligation of royal service. The structure of the overall system was carefully designed to balance the demand of permanent readiness against the economic realities of maintaining soldiers in peacetime. Four provisional regiments were to be kept on permanent active duty within Sweden at all times. Two additional regiments maintained the same status in Swedish-controlled Finland. This gave Gustavus Adolphus a standing army of roughly 20,000 men, soldiers who were continuously trained, equipped, and ready for deployment within weeks or months of assembly and preparation that the old conscript model required. The remaining provincial regiments were maintained as reserves. Men in these units were not on permanent active duty, which made them continue their ordinary lives between periods of service, but they were not simply civilians who happened to have their names on a list. They were required to keep their weapons in fighting condition at all times. They were subject to regular training requirements that kept their skills from deteriorating completely during peaceful periods. When the king needed to expand his forces for a major campaign, these reserve regiments could be activated and integrated into the standing army with a speed and coherence that would have been impossible under the old system. The standardization of training was one of the most significant aspects also of this reform. Previously, the quality of soldiers varied enormously depending on where they came from, who had trained them, how recently they'd seen active service. Under Gustav Adolphus's system, training was standardized across the country. Every provincial regiment learned the same drills, the same formation, the same responses to commands. A soldier from one province could be transferred to a unit from another province and function effectively almost immediately, because the fundamentals of what they had been taught were identical. The standardization had tactical implications that went well beyond administrative tidiness. It meant that Swedish units could be reorganized, combined, and deployed flexibly in ways that armies composed of separately trained contingents could not. It meant that commanders could rely on predictable behavior from their soldiers under pressure, because the training had been consistent enough to become instinctive. It meant that the Swedish army as a whole functioned as a unified organization, rather than a coalition of district contingents that happened to be fighting on the same side. The result of all of this was a military force that combined the reliability of a professional army within the reach of a mass conscription system, an organization that was always ready, consistently trained, capable of rapid expansion when the circumstances demanded it. Sweden had never had anything like it before, and quite frankly, for that matter, neither had the rest of Europe. So, quite an interesting change. Now, the next time we'll be talking about Gustavus Adolphus's artillery issue. The sources for this are Gustavus Adolphus versus Wallenstein by Pike, Gustav Adolphus, Sweden and the 30 Years' War, 1630-32, by Volk, The Lion of the North by Henty, Gustav Adolphus the Great by Onlund, and Gustav Adolphus and the Rise of Sweden by Roberts, Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 1, Infantry, by Brzezinski, Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 2, Cavalry, by Brzezinski. So I hope you enjoyed that. As always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise. If you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.